Connecting audio.
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. It's amazing.
There you go. All right.
Yay.
All right, let's get the show on the road.
Show
is on the road. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your moderator, Alexi. I'm here joined by Michael Penn and Grace Pavloff, all the way from Northern Ireland and Central Virginia. I am in Central Ohio. So, how is everyone doing today? It's a slow morning for me because things have been very hectic. I worked 7 days last week.
Oh, it's good. So I woke up this morning and the first thing that I do when I wake up, when I'm eating breakfast, is I make a thumbnail for today's video. Because the editor usually edits overnight and then posts it, and all I have, but he didn't do one last night. But every once in a while, he just doesn't do one and he doesn't tell me. So I had to like rushedly edit down a video. So I did that.
There you go. Grace.
Yeah. And then got here on time with everything working.
Well, it's, you know, it's raining. Michael saw on my window a little bit earlier. It was,
yeah, I already saw that.
It was raining pretty hard for a little bit. Now it's cleared up. It's still raining though. It's very much still raining. It's just not as violent. After this, I'm gonna actually have to clean the kitchen. So I guess that's all I have going for me at the moment.
Big day.
Big days.
Yeah.
You guys have the luxury of doing this within your lovely homes, your humble abodes. I am in the office right now. If I might, you know, we were thinking about doing a video format for this week's episode, and I'm lucky enough to have this wonderful painting behind me as a beautiful backdrop. So we're,
yeah, that's a classic.
What's up?
That's a classic one behind you.
That is a classic one. I don't even think it's of Union County because it's a castle, and I don't think that there are any castles in Union County. So, or at least from what I know of, I'm still kind of new to this area, but yeah, I mean, things have been good. I finally moved 110% of my stuff. Most of my stuff.
Oh, so you stole some stuff from one of your roommates to make the extra 10%. That's cool, I guess.
Basically.
Bold coming from you, Alec, too.
Oh yeah. Of course. You know, we're just, you know, we take every advantage that we can get in life. Actually, you know, oddly enough, I messaged the individual who stole all my stuff on PSN because I still have them on PSN, I found out.
And can you what is PSN?
PlayStation Network. All my gamers out there, PlayStation Network. He plays a couple games. All he does is play.
Oh yeah, and he's playing on your PlayStation.
No. Actually, he didn't take my PlayStation. The PlayStation that I had in my room at the time was broken, so he didn't take it. But since then, I got it repaired, and I messaged him, and I was like, thank you for taking all my stuff, man. I appreciate it. Just very like passive aggressive.
Very petty.
But you know what? It was good. He blamed my other roommate and said that my other roommate stole stuff. Meanwhile, we've been like my other roommate and I, we've been talking back and forth about like concluding the apartment saga. And he was actually with me yesterday cleaning out a bunch of stuff. So, I had a very busy day yesterday, along with other things. But, one of the things that's been going on that I've been, obviously invested in is, and kind of not invested in this year is this year's Olympics. And I kind of put something in our group chat a little bit earlier about this one individual who recently tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, specifically a stimulant. And she's a Russian figure skater.
Her name is Valeria.
Yes, I have a hard time pronouncing her name.
Even with your last name,
I think it's pronounced Valeria. I think it's pronounced Valeria.
Valeria?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, either way, she's been touted as the best figure skater ever. I mean, there was one, you know, when you hear the commentators who cover the sport, one of them basically said she's the best figure skater I've ever seen. And usually when people say that, you know, you have to listen, right? And it wasn't until after he said that a couple of days went by and the IOC, no, I'm sorry, RUSADA, the Russian
anti-doping
agency, they suspended the 15-year-old. And
I have a question, because yes. I didn't get this from any of the articles that you had sent us,
right.
Nor from the information that I've gathered.
Mm-hmm.
Is so when there's like a doping scandal or like a drug thing, does it immediately go to their country's committee?
Yeah.
Or is there not? Okay.
I think it depends on who does the tests. So like if you're at an international competition and you're tested by the international governing body.
Was she tested by the international governing body?
No, she was tested at Russian Nationals on December 25th. So she was tested by the national governing body of Russia.
Yeah.
But it depends on where you were tested. Like if you're tested in country during training, it's going to be by your country's anti-doping. But if you're tested in competition at international competition, it'll be by an international committee. So when I was diving, I had like teammates who were on the national team, and they like had to pee in front of people at random times during the year, like once a month or something. So
fair enough.
And that was all USADA that did them.
Yeah, USADA does a lot of work in the UFC, and they always they actually do like some like. I think people always talk about how USADA does more harm than good in UFC, but either way, I think it's interesting that number one, that the RUSADA suspended this young lady, and then RUSADA uplifted the suspension. Because they found, you know, obviously little
a protected person.
Well, I mean, she is a minor. She is a minor, right?
Yeah, so. I know, but that's, but protected from, shouldn't she be protected from doping? That logic to me makes no sense. I don't know why.
I think the idea is that, like, there's.
So she doesn't have to piss in front of people?
There's, like, state-sponsored doping, or maybe not, like, exactly state-sponsored anymore, but close to state-sponsored doping. So it's possible that she didn't even really know what was going on.
Well, and that's a big crux of the issue, and I think a lot of people don't understand. And I think this goes hand in hand with other countries. I won't point out which countries because I don't want to alienate some of our viewers. But like kids and the Olympics is weird, right? Because all of these niche sports and activities are seen as the apex of performance. And especially for Russia, I mean, from the family that I know of and Grace knows of, I mean, from what we've been told, Russia's very different in how they treat their worldview. And obviously Russia has had a history of, I mean, back in the day, let's get right down to the nitty gritty. I mean, back in the day when steroids wasn't even like in the dialogue for people, Russian powerlifters were doing steroids. They were doping with steroids and no one knew of it. It wasn't until, now this came from the documentary Bigger, Faster, Stronger done by the Bell Brothers. I would recommend that for anyone who's listening. The Russian team, it's very funny because Mark Bell, he talks about how the Russian team, basically one of the coaches drunkenly called the American coach and said, "Hey, we're giving our athletes this drug and it's making them perform wonderfully, and it's making them stronger and faster. It wasn't. So like after the American coach found that out, they took steroids back to the States and they perfected it. You know, Jesse Owens was, he wasn't accused of taking steroids, but he was accused of doping. And I think doping is ingrained in American culture and also other cultures. But one of the things that really affected me in all of this, in this whole story, is that Sha'Carri Richardson, however you pronounce it, she's one of the best runners out of LSU, one of the best in the world, I think. She got kicked out of the Summer Olympics because she smoked pot.
Yeah, and given, I'll jump in. So the reason why I asked that question before about who does the doping was so that I could make a very specific point.
Right.
Now, like, so obviously the Olympics, right, it's about the, may the best athlete win, right?
Yeah.
One thing that makes that illegal is doping, right? And that's like universal. That's like a universal law in the Olympics, right? No one's an exception.
Yeah.
You know, not even Valevia, because she's a protected minor, whatever, right? So I thought it was interesting the fact that Valevia being tested by her home country and her home country saying it's okay, you're cleared to go. And then, so it's not only about like the stigma around marijuana in the US, but also about the US not backing their own fucking players. I see it as Russia caring a hell of a lot more about winning and less about drugs. And making sure she's still able to compete because she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else aside, as opposed to Sha'Carri.
Sha'Carri, yeah.
You know, not even, it's not a, marijuana is not a performing enhancing drug.
Yeah, let's put that out there.
It's not a performing enhancing drug. If anything, it's a de-performing enhancer. Performing dehancer.
It sensationalizes a lot of things.
But it also just looks like the U.S. gives no fucks.
I think about
winning in their players. They care a lot more about marginalizing and stigmatizing weed than getting the best players into the Olympics and winning. That's embarrassing.
I think this is a good point that the U.S. is who banned Sha'Carri.
Yeah.
Where instead of like standing up for her while Russia is standing up for their athlete. Another thing that I say maybe distinguishes this, and this puts like the previous case into difficulty, but I mean, there's also like some possibility that Sha'Carri's case was seen as a mistake. And
what do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
Like they shouldn't have banned her. And so maybe they're trying to make a better decision here. Cause it's not, you know, it's not like Valieva or Valevia is totally off the hook yet, right?
I mean, they're still gonna
hang on and not give medals out and stuff like this. So
yeah, maybe, but that seems so unfair. That seems so illogical that she's allowed to compete and that if she places, which she is assumed to place, that nobody gets a medal then.
Well, until the thing is over.
Yeah, but like
there's not going to be a ceremony. There's not going to be a medal ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah, which actually seems even more ridiculously unfair. Like, dude, let her compete, but don't let her place. But why are you going to let her compete and let her allow to place? And then if she places, everyone else can't. And no one gets a medal ceremony. She's doping.
Well, and this is a question that I wanted to press onto you guys. And this is something that I've thought about recently. In Ohio, there's a lot of powerlifting competitions. And throughout the country, there's several different organizations that organize powerlifting events. There are certain organizations that allow drug use. So there are like four or five federations that allow the competitors to take steroids. The other four or five, there's like, I think in total, like 10. The other four or five are drug free. So right from the get-go, they're drug tested. You're not allowed to take certain substances. Bam. My opinion about professional athletes is that we pay to see them compete. We watch them for entertainment. From an NFL standpoint, I don't have a problem with players knowingly understanding taking a substance for the betterment of their performance. I don't have a problem with that because they have the best nutritionists, they have the best trainers, they have the best doctors, they have the best anything you can think of when it comes to healthcare and athletics. Do you believe that at a certain point, players will be allowed to do this kind of thing in regular competition? And where do you see
it? I think it would be a mistake. I think it would be a mistake to open up that door, because then what's going to happen is that it'll be survival of the most access to that drug.
The most resources, yeah.
Yeah. So, and if you already have the breast, you just, the breast, the best nutritionist, the best this, the best that, why do you need the best steroid? Why? What's the necessity for that? Huh? What is reason?
So I guess when I think of, you know, people always think of taking a performance enhancer as a way of cheating, right? People always say, oh, you're a cheater. People cheat all the time. I mean,
yeah, but people would cheat more if we didn't limit it.
Well, I mean, people probably cheat more than we would like to think. And Jimmy Johnson, you know, head coach for the Miami Hurricanes when they won all the way in the 90s. And when he coached for the Dallas Cowboys, he had this famous saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And he has a point. You know,
Michael, what do you think about this? What if you cheated your way to your PhD? Is that okay?
I think that would be different. I don't know.
I don't know. It sits uneasy with me. The idea of sort of, I guess there would need to be some sort of regulation, right?
Right.
Like if we allowed performance enhancing drugs, it's not like it would be just all holds barred, no holds barred. It wouldn't be like there would be no regulation, because then it would get super dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So there would have to be some sort of regulation, but then regulation just like punts it down the road, right? And people are going to cheat by pushing past the regulation, right? So if you have to like put a wall somewhere, because you have to put a wall somewhere probably, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then why not where it is right now?
Yeah. I think that it would make like already, right? All the countries competing, and I'm talking about this on the Olympic scale, not on like powerlifting in the US or in Ohio, right?
Well, powerlifting is an Olympic event, so.
No, it's not. Olympic weightlifting is, powerlifting isn't. They're totally different sports.
They are totally different sports. But they do incorporate the same.
Don't incorporate the same movements. The Olympic lifting.
Not argue.
Is the snatch and the clean and jerk, and powerlifting is the deadlift and the bench and the squat.
There's also clean and jerks.
Well, that's Olympic weightlifting.
Yes.
They have a different, like powerlifters. Can and I talk? Olympic weightlifters have a different morphology too. Okay, you go, Grace.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Damn. No, isn't powerlifting an Olympic sport? well, what was I gonna say?
I don't know. I ruined everything. Oh,
okay. So on the Olympic scale, right, obviously already not every country has the same access, the same resources to support their athletes, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't always mean that they're gonna lose, right? The U.S. probably has a lot of fucking backing behind their gymnastics program, you know. Do they always win? No. I mean, they win a lot, but like not overwhelmingly, well, right?
Yeah.
So if you added steroids and performance enhancers to that mix, I think it's just going to heighten that possibility. Do you know what I'm saying? between countries, you know? And I feel like the goal of the Olympics, right? It's so that we have like a global stage where we can all come together, right? And time of entertainment, competition, and like nationalism, but like that's, but it is.
Patriotism. Yeah. Patriotism.
Yeah, it is, right? And people like work really hard for it. Like a
peaceful gathering, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's like fair game, right? Fair game. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody, I don't know, I agree with Michael. It sits uneasy with me. I think to take something that your body already doesn't naturally, now I'm bordering on logic that could be used for a different debate, but we're not going to go into that. Altering your bodily formula in that such way to enhance your performance is just unfair.
Well,
yeah, I agree. I've heard a number of different takes about this fairness. So I'd like to point those out, although I'm not sure like which one I agree with, just to so that they're on the table. I've heard a fairness argument like right now, the countries with more resources are doping, but they're using their resources to hide it. And so if there was no need to hide it, then the countries with less resources could also join the drug parade. And so that's like a counterpoint to this. I don't know which one is more logical.
But now we like, can't.
I don't know which one is more logical, but I know that that is a take.
Yeah. Well, and
I mean, do Russia we know these years. Countries? Yeah, Russia was banned, bro. Russia was banned. They had to create a whole different like team so that they were allowed to compete, and then they do it again. I mean, I would say they're just not allowed to compete anymore.
Yeah, Russia is historically very bad at this.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, at least be good at it.
Right.
Well, and you know, we were talking about how the Olympics is seen as this congregation of athletics and peace and friendly competition and the abilities to, while also battle each other, come together. I think countries see this more as an ability to get their comeuppance. You know what I mean? Russia always goes gung-ho at the Olympics. Doesn't matter what season, doesn't matter if it's summer, winter, they always go full bar. I don't see Russia ever stopping, because they're, and I'm not from the motherland, even though I have a name that's very reminiscent of that. I haven't really visited the motherland as much as I would like to. I've read as much as I can, but you know, there's still more to be taught. I think Russia has this beef with the United States because of what we've done outside of athletics and the Olympics. But that, you know, bleeds into a different topic that I don't think we really want to dive into, but I will say that.
Talking about communism?
No, I'm just talking about like, and I think some people might understand when I say by this, the United States, we always view ourselves, I'm going to bring Star Wars into this. We always view ourselves as the rebellion. As the rebellion, right?
Yeah.
Because
we all always view ourselves as the rebellion?
I mean, who wants to be the empire?
Exactly, right?
Who watches Star Wars?
Not you, obviously.
I mean, I do.
Clearly.
But my point is that we Americans always view ourselves as the rebellion because we were brought up in this war-torn, trying to exclude ourselves from Great Britain. But in actuality, we're the empire. We have the largest military force on planet Earth. We always influence our domain in abroad countries. And we always do things that I don't think are our business to be a part of. And I think a lot of Russians see that. At least that's what I picked up when I went on a date with a Russian. No,
I think it's
recently.
Just competing world powers, dude. I think we're just two of the most competitive world powers on the stage. also China, and they need to be seen as greater. And one way they can do that is to beat us in the Olympics. I think they're trying to gain as much global recognition and authority that we already have. But they're mad about it.
But we also can't ignore the fact that we are a bully.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we're not, Alec, but I just don't think that it's like, I don't know, what was that thing you just said? I don't think it's like them feeling, I don't know, the last thing you said, I disagree.
Okay.
I think we're all just these three countries. We got a lot of money and a lot of powerful people, a lot of resources to call on and a lot of favors to have.
And we take advantage of it probably 90% of the time.
Well, yeah, because we have to stay above Russia.
And that's exactly why they don't like us. And that's
because they also want to be on top of us, but
you know,
we threaten their manhood.
Well, I think it has more to do.
I think they threaten ours
very much.
Totally.
So. Oh yeah.
I think they totally threaten ours.
Yeah. I mean,
why does it have to be a pissing contest though? Why can't we just,
I don't know, talk to Putin and talk to Biden? Why does it have to be a pissing contest?
That is probably the best question. That's probably the best question.
We have to work apart and compete against each other to create the best nuclear bomb.
I feel like humanity is so close, or well, maybe not close, but I wish it was so close to like a sea shift where it wasn't about one-upping each other.
Yeah, that's going to take like an ideological revolution.
About lifting each other up.
No.
Right? I don't understand. Like, why can't we do that? Isn't it clear that everyone would be better off?
No. Because a lot of the things that our livelihoods depend on us actually not always being kind to one another. Our systems, institutions, relationships. It's not always, they don't, what was that you just said, Michael? You want everybody to what?
Be lifted up.
Be lifted up, right? We can't be lifted up without being taken down a little bit. Someone has to be taken down for somebody else to go up.
Yeah,
right?
The billionaire.
So that, yeah, but then we're just going to fall too. I don't know.
I don't know that we'd fall. I don't know that we're rich enough to fall.
Our fall would be very unfortunate because it'd be very quick.
I mean, I would fall a little bit to lift people up, but I think like.
Yeah, but if we're talking about falling and lifting, bro, you don't get to choose how far you fall.
No, but if there's an evening, right?
We'll just have to pray for the day.
I think it's interesting. So I've seen this, right? Like, when you poll people across the political spectrum about how much wealth inequality there should be, I don't know the exact numbers right now, but when you poll people across the political spectrum about how much wealth inequality makes like the most just society, obviously people on the left want less wealth inequality, right? People on the right are okay with more wealth inequality. But that being said, the actual wealth inequality is even like way further than what any respondent like agrees is appropriate.
Yeah.
Right. So us like trying to fix this problem is like fixing it towards what people, when they are polled, say they think is the best, right? And this is like, you know, normal people on the street, not economists, who also agree that we should have less wealth inequality.
Well, it breeds conflict. I mean, you know, I do think that by default, someone said something to me recently where, you know, I brought up that exact same idea more so on a domestic level of like, you know, why is it so hard for the affluent and powerful to help the needy. And someone said that, you know, the people who are in power are too, not neglectful, but they won't go above and beyond to actually fix the problem. And the people, I forgot exactly what this person said to me, but basically it was, you know, the way that our society is set up, it's never going to be equal. And I think that that's just a given.
Because communism doesn't work. It only works in theory. Communism doesn't work.
I don't know. I see the math people come up with, and it's super complicated, but it works, right? I don't understand how humanity is not smart enough to do like
communism? Such
things in other avenues.
Like take inspiration from.
No, I'm not saying that like it, actually the math problems, but like the math problems that are solved are really, really complicated. Like they're hard to solve. Is solving this other stuff with society harder, or are people just not trying? Is there not like the appropriate, I don't know, goals in place or something? I don't know.
You're asking like really big questions that like in like that are like really difficult to answer in theories and shit. Cause like they're sort of, that's like ontological, I want to say, you know, like it's very much a big ass question.
Right.
That requires a big ass answer that has to be valid.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's really hard to come up with that valid answer.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have the United States turn into France, you know, with the bourgeoisie. That would probably...
Do not get me started on that.
Yeah, I mean, there are some good things about France.
There are some
good things. I have a handful of friends like, that are who are French, and they are lovely people.
The work, I also have a few work-life balance.
But that's more Italy. Italy's the one with like the 4-day work week, and like they have like 2 months of vacation time per year.
And then
they love leisure time.
You can add that on like years consecutively. I mean, when there was a Michael Moore documentary, Where to Invade Next, and he talks about the work balance life in Italy. And he also says like, while Italy's government has its own problems, it seems like they've fixed the daily lives of its citizens. I would call him a law enforcement officer that Michael Moore interviewed, and he had like 80 weeks. No, not 80. He had like 80 days of PTO, what we would consider PTO. And he like just added that on for like a couple years. He got like 10 days off work per year. And he just kept adding them on years consecutively, never took a week off, and just blah, 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 blah.
This is in the U.S.
attitude, of course.
So this weekend was the Super Bowl. Now
I feel like Alexi was in the middle of a thought.
I was, but I lost it. We can talk about the Super Bowl now.
Sorry.
Super Bowl.
But I have to go soon, so I wanted to get this thought in there.
This is past.
What?
The Super Bowl was just...
I didn't watch it.
I did. I invited 30 people.
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I saw a photo from your Super Bowl party, Grace.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd you see a photo?
Because I follow you on the gram.
Oh, yeah. Did I post a photo? It was a video.
Media.
Yeah, so I hosted like 30 people for the Super Bowl. And mind you, there was only like two or three Americans. Nobody knew what the fuck was going on.
I bet that was fun.
Oh, it was so much fun. Except, so obviously, like, the adverts became a problem because they happened every 2 minutes. And I know Alec knows how rugby works. Do you know how rugby works?
Yes.
Michael?
No.
Okay, so basically, like, there's a lot of differences, but there's some similarities. But you know how in American football, when the ball hits the ground or if your knee hits the ground while you're holding it, the timer stops?
Yeah.
In rugby, you keep going. Even if you hit the ground, even if the ball hits the ground, like, you keep, like, going.
Okay.
I will preface that in college, if you hit the ground, if your knee hits the ground and you're carrying the ball, you're down. In the NFL, if you're carrying the ball.
I just watched a professional rugby game, and that's, so there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, the timer is running.
Like in soccer.
The time
soccer.
Is running. I guess. I don't really know soccer.
Yes. The time just continues to run.
The time continues to run. Yeah. Same thing with lacrosse. Time continues to run.
There are a few breaks in the action, but that's only when the captain talks to the official.
Okay, cool. Okay, so your point, Grace? What?
Do you hear that?
No.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, that's great. No, so... the adverts became a problem with my friends. They didn't quite enjoy how every time, first of all, the game was just stop and go and the adverts kept coming up. And which I actually thought was pretty ridiculous. Me and my friend Lonnie had to publicly apologize after the halftime show because they totally disrespected Mary J. Blige and the rest of the halftime performers. Because they would cut the halftime performance in ads.
Oh, like the producers going. With the advertisements.
Yeah, they would cut from where I was watching it, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not happening for me.
Bro. They were cutting the shit.
They
were cutting in and out.
I watched.
Yeah, that wasn't happening when I wasn't watching it. So
I watched the whole halftime performance. The halftime performance was awesome. It was
great. Yeah, no, I heard it was
it
good.
Kept getting interrupted for us. Well, because we were trying to.
Well, but, Grace, this is a question that I wanted to ask you. How did your cohorts react to the level of pageantry that the Super Bowl has? Because the Super Bowl for us Americans is a.
They didn't. Yeah. I said Super Bowl party. Some people thought actual party was the Super Bowl as the background noise.
Really?
Is that not
that
what it
was
is?
Not, no.
No, you,
so
watched,
you guys like
no.
You guys like watch
yeah.
the game?
Dude, I oh, made yeah. sliders. I made mac and cheese. My friend bought buffalo wings. Like, I had all the food set up so that everyone can sit down and eat and watch the game.
Yeah.
But they obviously didn't want to watch the game.
No. They did. I mean, there was chatting here and there, which is totally fair. Like, they'll be chatting at a regular Super Bowl party, too. Not everyone's dead silent. Like, you know, you're not, like, sitting in a theater where everyone's just facing the thing for the entire time, right? Like.
Yeah.
When there's advert every 3 minutes, you tend to get a little distracted.
I'm just a student of the game, so I guess when someone, like, you know,
it was a lot of people's first time watching it too.
Yeah, well, I mean,
took their virginity.
My point was that you know, for me, obviously I play the game, so I'm more intent on what I watch. You know, I'm even more so intent that I don't even watch the quarterback on every single play. I watch the offensive and defensive line because that's what I used to play. But it makes me laugh when you know, you said, Grace, that they thought it was just a regular party, but the Super Bowl was on in the background.
Yeah,
I would flip a shit. I would be like, why are we not watching the Super Bowl if that was actually the,
yeah.
the scenario? I'd be like, why are we not watching this game all at once? Like, we need to sit down, crisscross applesauce in front of the TV and watch.
Oh
it
yeah, I had to rearrange the seating so that it was dynamic, you know, so that everyone could be facing.
So who were people rooting for though, Grace?
I made a good bet on the Rams. I said, got family, we're going to California. It's like, I don't really have any affinity to Ohio, so I'm just not gonna. Yeah.
Other than your brother that lives there?
Other than my brother that lives there, I have like no other reason to support Ohio. So
people,
I was going for the Rams.
People in Ohio were going hardcore for the Bengals. And I was going hardcore for the Bengals.
Yeah. Because Cincinnati is.
Fun fact, the city of Cincinnati is also in the state of Kentucky, so it's not really an Ohio city.
I mean, it's on the border. I almost went to grad school in Cincinnati.
See, you were almost a Bearcat?
I don't know. It's really close to rock climbing. It's like 2 hours from the Red River Gorge, which is like some of the best climbing in the world.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, it's in Kentucky. Well, the climbing is. But
Michael,
I didn't.
What are you looking forward to next week?
Next week? What am I looking forward to? Oh, yeah. Let's see. The release of my first student intern video that my students are making.
Ooh.
There's like a little skit, and then I do some math problems, and then I don't know. We're going to see how it goes. It should be good.
What are you looking forward to, Grace, next week?
Maybe having like some in-person classes again. That'll be kind of dope. Well, this weekend I actually have my first home game in Belfast. So that's going to be really exciting.
Who are you guys playing?
I think we're playing Dublin, Galway. It's going to be like a tournament style. So a couple of teams are coming up. We're going to play at the, you remember that video I sent you guys of the pitches?
No.
The fields, the sports complex. Sent you guys a video in the group chat. Watch it?
No, I watched it.
You guys lying?
No, I really did. I remember now.
Alex lying. You didn't watch it. Well, so we're going to be playing on one of those. So it'll be like an actual, the other game, it was like on some weird ass piece of grass.
Like someone's backyard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was like a far off pitch at UCD. But this one is going to be like on an actual, like, you know, so I'm excited for that. And then it's my friend's birthday that night. So bing, bing.
It's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always going.
There's a ton of stuff going on. I'm looking forward to covering the girls state tournament this weekend and covering some playoff action for both wrestling and basketball. I made a little highlight / pump up video for this small Instagram account that is run by this young lad by the name of Liam. Shout out to Small School Barstool for this. We've been working together on a few, just like I send pictures to him sometimes of athletes, and he deals with more schools that I actually cover, that I don't cover rather. We're getting more and more of an audience, I believe, here at the newspaper because of that. And I actually had a few wrestlers from a few different schools reach out to me and ask to do stories for them. So try to work with them a little bit more on that. So
apparently there's a QUB alumni who's watching.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are supposed to be like reading and responding to comments.
I don't want to do that. I probably shouldn't say that on the recording.
Okay. So here's the deal. Like,
what if they hate me? I don't want to look at them. They won't hate you.
Okay.
I don't know
At this stage, no one is like listening to us out of hate. They're listening to us that either because they like what we're doing or they want to support what we're doing as it improves. I promise you, like no one is negative at this stage. You have to have a large audience before people start getting negative. And then when they get negative, it's a lot smaller number of people are negative than are positive. So it doesn't matter at that point. You should get in there.
Advice. Thank you, Michael.
Be like, oh, cheers.
I will say
chop, chop.
Cheers.
Do you want some cheers. Tea?
I will say that mom.
People actually do drink tea.
Yes.
The stereotype lives. The stereotype lives very mom's much
been,
so.
Mom's been sending me a few comments that people have been leaving, saying that they like it. So we appreciate them. So much for talking to us and at us and everything in between. But with that being said, this is another kind of short-ish episode. We appreciate you listening. This has been the Penn and the Pavlovs, here with Grace Pavlov, Michael Penn, and myself, Alexei Pavlov. This has been our podcast. We'll talk to you next time.